If you like to follow along, the little sermon notes I have with kind of fill in the blank, you can. It's in the purple insert. As I looked at the Psalm 33, the assigned psalm for this Sunday, which we had for the intro, and also the reading from 1 John chapter 4, and what accords in with Jesus' teaching about Lazarus and the rich man intertwines in these, is you have in Psalm 33 the perfect judge. And you have clearly in 1 John chapter 4 the perfect love. And as Lutherans, we know that the judge is in charge of the law, and love is of the gospel. These two things are important to Christians, to the Christian message, are part of it. And also, as you see things take place in our society and in the world, you may be struck from one incident or series of incidents from one way or another. You may think, this isn't very just. Is that person going to get caught? Is the truth going to come out? Are those people really get to behave like that and nothing happens? You can fill in the blank for what you think that applies to, because it applies to a lot. As Christians, it's really important for us to stay firm and certain of the scriptures, that God is the perfect judge. And one place, there's many places in scriptures that teach this, but one place we see this is in that Psalm 33. And from some of those verses, I have a few thoughts there. The Lord, and if you notice, I have that in L-O-R-D, italicized there in the notes. But the Lord, and in the English, most English translations, it's L-O-R-D, capital, all capital. That is the name of God, not just any God, but the God who is the judge and who knows all things and has all power is the Lord, Yahweh, not Baal, not a Hindu god, not any other god, but the God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That one. He looks down from heaven and sees all the children of men. He sees everything. And that thought I repeat several times over again because it's important for us as Christians to know that God sees all. He observes all their deeds. The things that we think might be going on or is being revealed or not revealed or we suspect is going on, whatever, or we think is going on is not. Whatever, God sees what the truth is. Our God sees. And the powerful ones, the kings, their own power, their own great strength, their own, as the psalm says, their great army, cannot save them. These are for a purpose. Human governments and human military strength and human wealth, whatever you might point to, are for a purpose in this life, but in the end, they do not save anybody. God is the judge. And the psalmist mentions how God sees into people's lives. And then he also says, yet the eye of the Lord is upon those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love. And in there, in the psalm, he brings in this faith, both as those of you who remember the the meaning of the commandments, that we may fear and love God. Both. Because we know he's judge and he's to be respected, and there's nothing we can hide from him. He is over all. He sees all. And at the same time, he loves all and he wants to have mercy. So we fear and love him. No one escapes God's notice. Nothing escapes God's notice. So I give some instances there. No injustice, no lie, no bribe, no meanness, no cruelty can be hidden from the Lord. He knows what is going on. Sometimes we are given responsibilities in a business or in government or in the military or at a church or at any organization. And we have to watch over and know what's going on and correct the things that are not being done right, or sometimes even crimes are done. And it's our responsibility to try to carry that out the best we can. But God is the perfect judge. He really knows what's going on, and finally all answer to him. As a Christian, this is so important for us to know that God is in control. He knows what's going on. Nobody finally gets away with anything. It does not go scot-free. Jesus, he warned people about their own lives. He wanted people to see not only the shortcomings in others' lives, which people love to do, and we love to do as well. Look how bad that person is. Look how poor that person is doing in his job, whatever it may be. But Jesus points us to think about our own lives. And there's a passage in Mark, and there's Mark 9, and there's parallel passages too, that the warning from Jesus is so strong. These things strike me over and over again whenever I think of them or I read them or they come to mind. I read from Mark 9, starting verse 42. Jesus said, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." Jesus does not want people to go to hell. It's real, and it is the final judgment. And a lot of commentators, in fact, I've never had a commentator that I've read say, this is symbolic, he doesn't really want you to cut off your hands. I'm sorry. I'm not suggesting you cut off a hand or a foot, but he is absolutely serious. It's absolutely serious to go to heaven with one hand than two in hell. He's absolutely serious. He wants people in heaven, not in hell. He wants people to repent. He is the perfect judge. Nothing is hidden from God. And then if we think in our own lives, You mean he knows this and this and this? Yes. And as Christians, he is our perfect judge, and we know and believe that. Then in contrast to that is what John wrote in 1 John chapter 4. God is love. Whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. God is just. He is the perfect judge. But God is love. He wants people to abide in him. He wants people to have life in him. That's what he really wants. And John said, God's love in us casts fear of punishment out. Now, how can that happen? Because when we see the truth that God is the perfect judge, he knows our hearts and our minds. He knows what we did yesterday and today. He knows what we will do tomorrow. And he knows our inner thinking. He knows why we're doing it. That is scary because we see we don't measure up. We're not perfect. We're not holy. But John says perfect love casts out fear of punishment. Well, who is that perfect love? It's not me. I know I don't love perfectly. I can't look at myself and be comforted. I cannot, and no person can. We cannot look at ourselves and be comforted that I'm good enough. But what is that perfect love? The perfect love is the one who took our sins, those things that we have done, that anybody has done, and he took them to the cross, and he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And he told the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. And he said on the cross, it is finished. That is the perfect love and sacrifice that I and you look to, so that the fear of our own sins and the fear of the punishment that we deserve is put away. That our focus is on Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. And as we learn and understand and live in and grow in the knowledge and faith of our Lord's death and resurrection, we see that he is more powerful than what I do. He is the perfect judge, and he's also the perfect love. He's the perfect Savior. When Jesus says it is finished, he is declaring that his love and his death, his suffering and death, his forgiveness, is more powerful than any sin. And he really, really wants to forgive all. No matter what has been done, he wants to forgive all. People can refuse Jesus. People can ignore or turn away from Jesus. But he wants to forgive. And he doesn't want anybody in hell. Our sins are not more powerful than his words, it is finished. His words, it is finished, means it's completed, it's perfected, it's done. And our comfort is when we hear those words, think on them, sing about them, pray them, speak them to one another, we realize that even the worst that I've done, he's paid for. So faith focuses on him. When we are a Christian, our eyes follow Christ and what he's done. And we know what he's done is more than anything I do, whether good or bad. My good is halfway good, a third way good, 7/8 good, whatever you might say. And my bad is bad. But he is holy and perfect. And he has saved me. What I depend upon, what casts out the fear of punishment, is Jesus. We cannot, nor anybody can, run away or hide from God's judgment. All things, in the end, will be known and will be weighed out. And yet, God does not want anybody to go to hell. He wants all to believe and repent and believe in Jesus. As Christians, this is the two things. He is the perfect judge. His standards, his holiness, his way of looking at all things that have been created, that is the holy thing. Yet we all fall short. But my eyes are not on my sins, on my falling short. That will never bring me any comfort. What brings me comfort is to look at Jesus, to hear him say, "You are forgiven. It is finished. You are judge, Heavenly Father. You are in all things, above all things. Nothing is hidden from you." And at the same time, in your Savior, you have loved me and forgiven me all things. Those two things. The devil wants us to forget those two things. The devil wants us to be overcome by whatever is going on around us, to forget those two things. But God says, "I am judge, I am Savior. Completely and absolutely." So Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father." We pray to him. We come to him. He knows everything that's going on. He forgives. He gives us strength to go each day to know him truly. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks and praise that you reveal and give faith to us to know that you are the perfect judge and that your love for us is perfect and whole and complete and even takes away our sins. Give us a strong faith and confidence in us. Cast out the fear that we might have of punishment, but rather to rejoice in the forgiveness and love of Jesus, that you have given us in Jesus Christ. Help us to share this with many others. You don't want anybody to go to hell, but you want all to come to faith and believe in Jesus Christ. Give us patience. Give us repentance. Give us faith in Christ. All these things, Heavenly Father, we bring to you in the holy name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.